When I was a teenager, I was asked, with a group of people, I was asked who I wanted to be like when I grew up. I could have chosen a movie star or an athlete, but then I looked back at my skill set and decided that was unlikely. Many of my peers aspired to be someone rich and powerful. I chose my father, who was not rich or powerful. But for some reason, was everything I wanted to be. See, he was smart. Most everyone who met him agreed that he was one of the smartest people they had ever met. He had recall of nearly everything he'd ever read, and he read a lot of things. He could answer every clue on Jeopardy, unless it was something about popular culture. He didn't have any degrees, but he taught himself. He was the authority on most everything, or at least he made you think so. I was always convinced that if he didn't know something about a topic under discussion, which was unusual, he would make something up that would sound completely credible. So there was no doubt that I wanted to be as smart as my dad. But that wasn't what made me want to be him. He was an amazing storyteller. He could take a mundane experience and turn it into a tale that captured the human essence, often with a laugh. He could do this through the spoken word or a carefully crafted essay. There were very few gatherings that we went to as a family in which he was not sharing his tales. There is no doubt that I wanted to be a storyteller like him. But that wasn't what made me want to be him. He was an accomplished musician. He could sit down at the piano and just play a tune. He could read music. I wish I had that gift. He substituted for the organist at church, even though he'd never taken organ lessons. And he was good. He could sing. He was a tenor. Sang in community choir. He was the soloist in the church choir. And reading all the music came to him naturally. There was no doubt that I wanted to be a musician like him. But that wasn't what made me want to be him. My dad was treasured by everyone. When he went out to dinner at the store, people would come up to him and they wanted to talk to him. They wanted his wisdom. And on most every endeavor, he was passionate about so many things. He loved his wife with every bone in his body. She was my mother. And he loved me too. There was no doubt that I wanted to be respected and loved and loving like he was. But that wasn't what made him who I wanted to be. Many of you know my dad died this past Friday. And I was blessed to be there with him. And all of those attributes that I just talked about, they were noticed by everybody. And I noticed them and I had become used to them. And they swirled in my memory. But none of those were why I wanted to be like my dad. The reason I wanted to be like my dad is much deeper than that. Those qualities and talents and gifts were just extras. It was about the way he lived his faith, which I have come to know in my reflections as the Easter prerogative. And I want to explain that to you. See, first of all, we Christians are taught, it's in the culture, that a Christian life is about getting a good enough report card to get into heaven. We are led to believe that this life, the life before we die, is less important than what happens next. And we call this salvation. And the words we use to describe it are that Jesus overcame death, and therefore we can do the same if we believe. If we live our life well, then we will be rewarded with an eternal life in heaven with God, which is someplace up there. What this thinking forces us to do is to make judgments about who is right with God. And it allows us to celebrate how wonderful we are, at least from our own perspective. If I could ask you to do anything on this Easter day, it would be to let go of that way of thinking. Because that thinking distracts us from what Easter and the resurrection, what we are celebrating on this day, is all about. Now, Christians do live in expectation of eternal life. But Easter and Christianity are about so much more than that. Most of you know the Lord's Prayer. We pray it all the time. Many of you, including me, memorized it when we were children. And in it we pray, on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven means that we hope, we pray that God's kingdom will come to earth like it is in heaven. That is what is at the heart of Easter. Jesus' resurrection united heaven, which is the place of God, with earth, the place of creation, the place where we live. And in theological terms, we had been exiled from that heavenly place, and Jesus' resurrection broke down that barrier. So the one thing I ask this Easter is that we forget thinking about attaining some future reward, an ultimate life insurance policy that provides a select few who are as good as us a special place in God's kingdom, which is someplace else. Because what we have through Jesus is we already have that. Instead, I hope that you will think about a new way of living right now that will advance God's kingdom right here where we are on earth. We are living right now in the kingdom of God. And that means that the rules created by humans, which originate from money and power, are meaningless in light of God's primary principles of love and forgiveness. That kind of Easter life is why today's gospel account concludes with the emotion fear. Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, and Salome fled the empty tomb in terror and amazement, it said. Easter is about realigning our lives with Jesus and bringing about a world that is not focused selfishly on our achievements, on our good deeds, but on raising up the world around us. It is about giving oneself for the good of the wider world, for justice and peace and building for God's kingdom right now. And that takes a courageous step forward for disciples of Christ. And it elicits fear because the cost of doing that is losing our privilege. Easter requires us to focus less on personal morality and much more on how we are working together to bring about God's reign on earth as it is in heaven. What I realized this past Friday was that my dad, whether he understood it or not, lived his life in this way. He didn't worry about himself. He didn't brag about his many talents. He didn't think of himself too highly. He knew who he was, and he served the world in which he found himself. He made a difference in the lives of those he encountered along his path. Not just the people he knew, which I know deep down, but even the people who didn't know him. He was doing everything that he could with God's help to bring about God's kingdom in a world of great need. He understood something deep in his very being and lived it throughout his life. He understood that he had many missional responsibilities, but they weren't the ticket to heaven. They were expectations of living in heaven, which is happening right here. And that is why I wanted to be like him. Today we proclaim, Alleluia, Christ is risen. It is so important to remember those words because, yes, there is something that's going to happen in the future. There's a hope for what's going to happen after we leave this world. But it also requires something greater from us right now. A sacrifice of our very being to spread God's love into the wider world. To seek justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. So the question that you should leave today is, how are you living Easter? How are you orienting your lives to what God is calling you to do right now in every encounter that you make? Amen.